Brother John Baker of Hope, Indiana, will ask the blessing upon Brother Frank's service.
Our most wise and gracious and loving Father, Thou who art the giver of every good and every perfect gift, we humbly bow before Thee, dear Father, for the many blessings which Thou hast given to us this day. Very thankful for the blessings which Thou hast prepared in the coming hour. And we come, dear Father, to ask and seek Thy special blessing upon Thy servant, that his words would be Thy words, full of truth and full of beauty, pleasing in Thy sight and helpful to each one as we would hear Thy words of truth. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for this opportunity of listening to the principles of Thy truth laid out and of Thy plan. And we ask, dear Father, that we would take these things and apply them in our hearts and lives and live truly a Christ-like life and becoming more and more in the image of our dear Master. And so, dear Father, in all things we seek to give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. For this prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Frank Boychuk of Winnipeg, Manitoba, yesterday led the study on the covenants, which I'm sure we all enjoyed. And this morning, his discourse is entitled, Rejoicing in the Truth. Brother Frank.
Thank you, Brother John. Brethren, it's nice to be here and rejoicing with you. As Brother Ed brought out in his talk on the prophecy of Joel, that scripture of 2nd chapter, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. We have reason to rejoice, brethren. Apostle Paul also told us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We have the truth, and this is why we rejoice in the truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing here to the brethren, points out to us, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Children of the light, children of the day, we are not in darkness. We have reason to rejoice. These children, we know the footstep followers of the Master. And it is our privilege to conduct our lives in keeping with the standards of righteousness, in keeping with the standards of the truth that He has given to us at this end of the age. And therefore we have reason to rejoice because of the knowledge of the divine plan for the world and for those who are following Him in the footsteps. We know we are, of course, surrounded with many circumstances because of the Lord's day. There are many things that have to be removed before the great blessings will come to the world of mankind. We know these things are all about us, but we still rejoice because we see the fulfillment of these things. The apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. As such, we may properly think of ourselves as having this understanding because we see the light. We know that these things are brought to us, to see with the eye of understanding. It's a joy. We're able to appreciate the things that we understand as new creatures. It is our ability to discern the truth, to discern God's word through the truth, to see the Lord Himself, Jesus. We know speaking to the truth to be understood at this day, at this time, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, where He said to His disciples concerning this ability, He pointed out, "Blessed are your eyes," in Matthew 13, verse 11, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." Blessed are your eyes, for they see. We know many in the Lord's day, and in Jesus' day, and later had an opportunity to learn the truth. But they did not possess the spirit of discernment. Because of the Pharisees, our Master mentioned in Matthew, the 15th chapter and verse 14, chapter 15 and verse 14, He said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." He also mentioned in chapter 23 and verse 16 of Matthew. Chapter 23 and verse 16. "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." And verse 24, He says, "Ye blind guides, would strain a gnat and swallow a camel." Strain a gnat and swallow a camel. So we see how our Master looked upon those who were in darkness. True, the disciples we know of Jesus, at this particular moment, were not begotten the Holy Spirit until Pentecost. So even their ability to discern the mysteries, as He spoke to them, of the truth, was not until after Pentecost. Jesus said to them, "I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit," He says, "when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth and show you things to come," as He pointed out to us in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 12 and 13. So we can see, brethren, once this understanding came clear, and especially to those who had the humility, the heart condition, the desire to learn, these qualities we know are essential for us in order to see the truth. As the Lord said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We know a pure heart is a sincere heart. And only those who are pure, sincere, will be able to see God. Probably it's lack of these qualities that prevents many from seeing the truth. Two people may be approached on the message of God, truth. One sees it one way, another may see it another way. And one may have had an understanding, a clear understanding, and then insists on placing his own interpretation on this aspect of the truth. One sees and the other does not. How true then are the words of our Master when He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." How do we see God? We know for the faithful followers of Jesus, there will be unspeakable privilege to in the first resurrection being presented before the Father, and of seeing Him face to face, be able to see Him that way. This indeed, of course, is a glorious hope that everyone has in order to meet the Father, to be lifted up from this present life above into the condition where we meet with the Father. So be able to see him face to face. But we know we can see the Father afar off, even at this time. In Isaiah, the 33rd chapter and verse 17, that's Isaiah 33 and verse 17. The prophet here tells us, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." They shall behold the land very far off. We have that privilege now to behold that land. However, there's a way in which we can see God by discerning the truth, through his truth. The truth reveals the glorious attributes of God's character, his wisdom, his justice, love, and power. And this is a great vision that we have. The eyes of our understanding have been opened to behold the glory of the Lord as it is revealed through his divine plan of the ages. We know something of that belongs to those who are thus blessed. We are thrilled by this sight. We can describe this great delight that fills our hearts of those who are able to see God, discern the truth. It's not a momentarily joy. It's not something that's temporarily. It is a rejoicing that continues always. And this is why we can rejoice as that class in Zion. It is rejoicing because we have the truth. We see God's great love for us. We realize that such a love is all comprehensive. It is providing our every need. We see it is a love that is tender, sympathetic, and compassionate. We see that it is everlasting. We see his wisdom. We know that he is too wise to make any mistakes, even as he is too loving to be unkind. These are the attributes that we appreciate. And we know that he will not permit anything to come upon us which he knows that we are not able to bear. He loves us and he knows what we most need in order to be prepared to share his glory beyond the veil. We understand his justice. We discern it. All his ways are just. We know his ways of dealing with us. We see his power. And we see and realize that nothing can possibly separate us from him if our faith is firm and strong. And this is the basis on which we rejoice. We have this satisfaction. We have this peace of heart. We have this joy. Our Heavenly Father, whom we see by faith through his word, he loves us with an everlasting love, a love that has made provisions more and more generous and more abundant, the opportunities to understand, and providing us with the necessary meat in order to continue carrying us during our walk. And certainly, we know his justice is also the experiences that we have, and this reaches us even though sometimes we may have difficulties to bear and disciplining on the basis of justice. This is our training, and it is essential for us to grow in order that we may be found worthy in his sight. When thus we see our Lord, we can rejoice. Rejoice in that truth. It is natural for human mind to rejoice because of the surroundings that are about it. And therefore, we continually seek the Lord's guidance and instructions that nothing may come in between ourselves and our Lord. It is our joy, this way of knowing and that assurance of knowing it. In seeing that the Lord is, it's based on the fact of knowing that He will supply all our needs. He will provide the trials that need to improve us, and we will rejoice also even more in the fact that we see Him as a God so abundant in His mercy and so loving that He has made a great plan, not only for us, but for all the world of mankind. So as we see the manner in which His love operates for the blessings of His creatures, we rejoice in Him. We rejoice for His own sake, and not merely because He has promised that no good thing will He withhold from us if we walk uprightly. Even when He permits trials that may be difficult for us to bear, trials that may many times hurt us, and even at times it may be unbearable, we know that if we make our petitions to Him, to the Heavenly Father, that He will answer us and will not go beyond what we're able to bear. And therefore, we will continue to rejoice in Him because of that. For just the joy of discerning Him more and more compensates for the trials that we may encounter from day to day. We know the new creature in Christ is also able to, as the psalmist tells us in Psalms 34:8, that's Psalms 34:8, he's also able to taste how good the Lord is. And that's Psalms 34, chapter, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him or reverence. So we can taste the Lord. We know that He is good, but again, it is our knowledge of the Lord that reaches us through His Word. So we feed upon this Word. We feed upon the spiritual food. We eat every word that is given to us. And with such a table that's laid out of the glorious promise He has made, we appreciate more and more the goodness of the Lord. And certainly how much we can appreciate the goodness that He has laid out during this time of the second advent. Because He has served us with a special course, meat in due season. Meat in due season that's been given to us through a wise and faithful servant. The rich delicacies we are finding on that table. As Brother Albert gave in his welcome address, the spiritual table that's provided for us, based through that servant, we can be rejoicing in that truth, because He has spread for us in the midst of our enemies the table of present truth. We have reason to rejoice, and how good the Lord becomes to us as we are faithful and we learn to know Him by partaking of the truths, discerning these things, that we are able to continue walking according as He has designed for us to do so. We are able to see the Lord's purpose for us, and this causes us to rejoice. Thus, the rejoicing increases as we taste His goodness of all the beautiful pictures as was presented at this convention. We know that these things are so pleasant to our taste, but the Revelator tells us in Revelation chapter 10, and verse 8 to 11. Chapter 10 and verse 8 to 11. He says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." We notice how sweet the message of this truth is, and we have reason to rejoice. But along with the, once we digest this message and truth, there may be bitter persecutions and trials, because there will be oppositions to those who are faithful to the truth. So once he swallowed this message, it became bitter. We have to make a stand. And it's a joy also if we take a stand on the basis of the goodness of the Lord. We take that stand in order to hold the banner of truth high, whether it be those who are near us, or whether it be those who are, as the scribes and Pharisees were, as the Master said, who are blind. We still have to take our stand for the truth. We know we have many of these jibes that come to us as brethren, especially if we present the message of the truth. We've had a number of experiences in our area, in the Winnipeg area, particularly with the message of truth that we present on the television programs. We offer a telephone service after the program, and we receive calls after each half-hour program on the television station. There are those who are watching it, but much opposed to the message itself. There are those who have condemned us as a generation of vipers. That's the term they've used. But we have to bear those things, brethren, because the truth, message of truth, is presented. There are those who are obsessed with certain ideas, and in fact, we had one caller who has been calling us after every program for about 2 months. And each time he called, once he was Jesus Christ, next time he was the Holy Spirit, next time he was God himself, and every time condemning our message that we had presented on the program. We had to almost use, to certain degrees, we might almost say sarcasm, to try and make him think a little bit. And he said he was Jesus Christ one time, and I says, "If you're Jesus Christ, whose telephone are you using?" He hung up. Next time he called again, he still wanted to condemn the message that we were presenting. These are lengthy discussions, by the way. I wouldn't have time to go through these because we discussed an hour, half an hour on the telephone. Messages of the truth to people who call sometimes. And next time he called and he said he was Jesus Christ who came to save mankind, I asked him the question, "How is it that you came only to Winnipeg? Aren't there any sinners anywhere else in the world?" He hung up. So these are the things that we're getting. These are some of the trials that we're receiving because of presenting a message of truth. We're thankful, dear brethren, that we're able to see the truth. And we're thankful that we're able to have this meat in due season at this end of the age. Our Lord Jesus also said to his disciples in Matthew 13:16, "Blessed are your eyes, are your ears, for they hear." Thus we know that even the ear is used as a symbol of understanding, and the heart as a symbol of appreciation. We know millions have heard the word, but have not understood. They have not understood and have not realized that the Lord was speaking to them. We know to hear the voice of the Lord and to recognize it brings great joy. And we rejoice in this because the great joy to the new creature, for it is indeed a joyful sound, as Brother Ed brought to our attention. It's a trumpet, a joyful sound. We know Abraham heard the voice of God speaking to him in terms of the wonderful promise made to him to bless all the families of the earth. And those who have heard that voice since that time have heard a message in keeping with all that comprehensive promise. They've heard the message of restitution. They've heard the times and seasons, the beginning of the times of restitution at the second advent of our Lord, and implied a great promise. They had ears to hear and understand. And Peter tells us that the hope of restitution, as spoken in the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, is in compliance, we know, with that voice that Abraham heard. And Jesus preached restitution. He illustrated restitution. The apostles taught it of this glorious theme song of the Bible. And that meet in due season gave us the exact period and times that it would begin. And so we rejoice. And even the last three chapters of Revelations brings to us the work of that mediatorial feature of the times of restitution. So what joy came into our hearts when we learned to hear these things. This is the message that we have, the voice, to present to the people. They don't have the ears to hear. They don't understand it. Reveal his love for all mankind. They come back to us on the telephone and bringing us the fact that those who do not accept Christ now will be tormented in hellfire for eternity. There are still those strong born-again Christians, and they never fail to call us. So we can see that the message of truth is there, but they do not have the ears to hear. We rejoice to learn in this aspect that the Spirit of the Lord will be poured upon all flesh, and all will come to a clear understanding. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And this gives us great joy. And that's why we rejoice, brethren, because we want to worship and serve a God of love. And thus we are drawn by his love, a love that was not only for ourselves, but for the whole world of mankind. Some hear this voice, but do not discern that it is the voice of God. They don't discern it. They insist that God has planned to torment mankind. That is not the voice of God. And we know that this voice is there to bless mankind, revealed to us through his word. Naturally, one in the condition of heart that's not able to discern the voice of God eventually will come to that understanding. So having recognized the voice of divine love and having devoted ourselves to God's service, he continues to speak to us. He speaks also through his Son, who is the Good Shepherd. And we learn to know his voice also. We are the true sheep. We will follow in his steps. We'll follow the voice of the shepherd and not the voice of a stranger. The Good Shepherd's voice, like the voice of our Heavenly Father, is one who is able to direct us in all paths of truth. The voice of truth. The truth of the divine plan of the ages to bless all the families of the earth. New creatures in Christ, called during this gospel age to be partakers with him of the divine nature hear that voice of God, a voice behind them. That is, it comes from the past. It's a voice that has come from the prophets. It's come from the apostles. It's come from the good shepherd. And they're able to hear. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. It's a voice of assurance. It's a voice of comfort. It is one of guidance and instructions, as well as a voice which says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Very comforting words for us. 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left, we have a way that's been given for us. So it brings us great joy to our hearts to realize that we have such an infallible guide who's able to guide and direct us. And by following his instructions of the Lord's voice, we can never, never lose our way. It is a voice of encouragement. When we need to be encouraged from time to time, at times we know we may get discouraged. But once we turn to our Master and seek his guidance and directions, we know the pathway becomes much easier for us to walk. The pathway may seem rough and difficult. Our feet may become weary, and we may falter by the wayside. But once we hear that voice of God speaking these wonderful words of encouragement, as he tells us in Isaiah, the 40th chapter and verse 31. Chapter 40 and verse 31, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. In other words, we may get discouraged, but our strength will be renewed, and they will mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and nothing and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What great reassurance we have from our Master. We rejoice in this fact, that I will go with thee, he says, and I will sustain thee. Just put our trust in the Lord, and he will sustain us. He will give us the strength. He will give us that strength to mount up on wings as eagles, and run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Great reassurance. Could any joy be greater to have that great assurance, that which stems from the realization that our God is speaking to us, that every one of his great promises were made to us, and that through them he strengthens us, that we're able to walk in the way which he has appointed, the narrow way. But we have to be humble. We have to be meek. We have to be teachable. We think of the hardships of the way which were endured by our dear Apostle Paul. Yet even with his back bleeding because of the stripes he received and his flesh weary, because he could hear that voice of God when he said to him, fear not, Paul. I will be with thee. He could write the same words for our encouragement, that we should also enjoy a rejoice in the truth that we have received, because this strength from the Lord will be with us. And even at times when Apostle Paul could not bear many of the things he prayed the Lord to remove from him, the thorn in the flesh that he had, yet the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. So we have that guiding arm of the Lord sustaining us at times when we may be weak, and also our privilege as new creatures to reach out and touch him and thus be assured of his nearness, that he is always present to guide us in rough places, which we know are in our pathway from time to time. We know many sought even to come near our Master, that they may draw, or they may be able to draw near him and be healed because of the virtues that would be transferred to them. This, of course, was in a literal sense. But we know we as new creatures, we can by faith come near our Master through prayer. Through prayer we can touch him and our Heavenly Father and receive this strength, receive this virtue that will enable us to press on victoriously in the good fight of faith until we gain our crown. If we seek our guidance, he will always direct us. And so let us make contact with this never-failing source of strength, for he's always there to help us and assist us if we reach out by faith to lay hold upon it. No matter what our needs may be, he's able and he's willing to meet these needs, and if we are meek and teachable, that through prayer and the application of his promises, realize more and more each day what it means to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, as we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. That's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. Apostle Paul here tells us very clearly, strengthened with all might. First of all, let's read verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, rejoicing in every aspect of the truth, in our walk, in a narrow way, of our trials. Rejoice, because those are all necessary for our growth and development as new creatures in Christ. And giving thanks, as he says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Being made partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. And verse 13, he says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, brethren, what great joyfulness and rejoicing we can have if we can we help but have joy when we realize his almighty power is sustaining us in our every trial. It's helping us to bear every burden, enabling us to endure even unto the end of the way of sacrifice. As you read in Psalms 91, verse 14 and 15. He says to us, because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. The psalmist here, David, we know, speaking of Jesus, our head, and of every member of his body, our God and the strong tower, has said, because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he had known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. This is one of God's precious promises to those who love him. Those who love him more than they love anything else in life, who love him so supremely that his will is their law. Do we thus love the Lord? Then by the hand of faith, we can grasp his promises, and in claiming it, realize the strength of our God is employed on our behalf. On our behalf, and that no matter what experiences he may permit, he will not suffer us to be tested above that which we are able to bear. That he will deliver us from trouble, and finally set us on high, even on the right hand of his beloved Son, to love and reign with him on the other side. As we have that privilege on this side, our works do follow. On the other side, continuing the work of his kingdom. Surely it's a joy and a privilege, a favor that we have with God, that we can come and make contact with him at any time and be assured that his promises help, his promised help will be ours. Is great cause for rejoicing. Rejoicing in the truth. As the hymn says, Happy Zion, what a favorite lot is thine. The scripture, too. We have that favorite lot. We have reason to rejoice. Our rejoicing in the truth, in the Lord, takes place in our new minds, brethren. The new minds. It is only as new creatures that we are able to have these understandings and exercised by our knowledge of the Lord through his truth. Only as new creatures can we appreciate the sweetness of his will and the blessedness of his promises. This life of the new creature is pictured in the holy of the typical tabernacle, wherein was the table of the showbread, the golden candlesticks, and the golden altar of incense. Antitypically, we are feeding upon the bread and the and thereby tasting that the Lord is good, realizing how good it is to feed of this spiritual food. Through the eyes of our understanding, we are enlightened from the antitypical candlesticks. By the same light, we are also shown the way of the altar of incense, where we have the privilege of offering up our heart devotions to God as a sweet-smelling savor to him. We know, of course, that in the type, the fragrance from the incense that was burned on the golden altar permeated unto the most holy and thus prepared the way for the entry of the high priest as he passed under the veil from the holy. But it is not logical that the sweet odor, but is it not logical the sweet odor of the burning incense also filled the holy? And we think it did. And we have this illustration of how our Lord's wonderfully exercised our senses, that the smoke from the burning incense was a sweet-smelling savor to God, because it was evident that the work of sacrifice enjoined upon the priest was being consummated. This assures us that in the antitype, our sacrifices are pleasing to God, that they give evidence of our love for him and our desire to be like him, for it is our sacrifice is being offered upon the, if it's offered on a proper basis, we know that we are devoting our lives thus to his service because of his sacrifice for us. And how true this is, brethren, we have evidence of this fact in our lives. And we're thankful that we're able to rejoice in the truth because of the discernment we have of the knowledge, because of the tasting we have of our Heavenly Father, of how good he is. Let us rejoice, brethren, for we have reason to rejoice in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Frank, for that beautiful lesson and showing us the privileges and opportunities that we have in serving the Lord in the truth, and as your title indicated, rejoicing in the truth, and how we should live up to these privileges and opportunities that we have, and being awake and alert to the experiences that the Lord gives us. One announcement that we have, and very appropriate, Brother Frank's here. He's the chairman of the Canadian Conscientious Objectors Committee. And if you're between the ages of 18 and 40, it would probably be a good idea if you signed a little statement here by the Langley Bible Students. It says, "We, the undersigned Bible students meeting in convention in Langley, affirm our position as conscientious objectors that we as Christians have the firm conviction that we will not participate in war, in killing our fellow man, or assist in any non-combatant service. This, we believe, is our individual right and freedom." And if you sign this, photocopy it, we'll put it in a safe place, and then if a war ever did break out, at least you would have your name down as going on record that you believe that it is against your beliefs in killing your fellow man. So that'll be passed around the young people, and if you're interested, you can sign that. Brother Frank has asked us to sing the last four verses of hymn number 247. 247. Fourth verse.
"Rejoice and be glad, now the pardon is free. The just for the unjust that died on the tree. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lamb that was slain, for death is triumphant and liveth again. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, for our King on high has come for his jewels, his kingdom is nigh. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again."
Shall we rise?
"Rejoice and be glad, for he cometh to reign. Triumph and glory, oh sing the glad strain. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again."
Our gracious, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We come once again before the throne of grace with thankful hearts, dear Lord, for the privilege that we have received in following the steps of our Master. Thank thee, dear Lord, for giving to us the mystery of thy will and revealing to us the mystery of thy kingdom, dear Lord, and the blessings that will come to all of mankind. We are thankful, dear Lord, that thou hast kept us on this narrow way that we have undergone, The development is necessary, dear Lord, to make us worthy in thy sight. And we ask thee further for thy leadings and guidance, that we may continue to walk more circumspectedly and be more favored in the fact that we are able to discern thy wonderful word of truth. In whatever aspect we may need to be polished and guided, dear Lord, we accept, and we ask thee further to grant us more of thy Holy Spirit and wisdom, and direct our ways, that we may continue on to the end of our course. We ask these blessings as we pray for all thy children, wherever they are, dear Lord, thou knowest their needs, and bless them accordingly. We ask forgiveness for anything that we may have said or done amiss as we leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, asking it all in Jesus' name. Amen.